You know, Mr. Dennis was talking about we are to be like little children and respect our parents. And God said, Jesus Christ said, you know, we need to be like little children to come to God, to come to Him. And I don't think it's an accident that that theme right now is carried forward in my introduction. You know, parents are the secure world to children who are to be humble and trusting. You know, Christ picked the little child up, so it was a small child. And parents are that secure world to the children who are there very humble and trusting at the age where you can pick them up and hold them in your arms easily. You know, there are provided things. They're provided love, peace, and comfort, a safe and protected environment, clothing, food and shelter, learning, family atmosphere. A child is really furnished everything. What happens when a child, you know, lets a fair or goes somewhere and it gets lost? What happens? Well, police or whoever may find them and try to take care of them, but what do? They cry. They miss their parents, right? Their parents are everything to them. Well, how about little boys talking about their dads? I was a little boy once. You know, we all were little girls or boys sometime or other. I can remember some of us talking about, you know, my dad is better than your dad. Or my dad can beat your dad up. I know you relate to that. And, you know, I didn't have it on here, but I always thought that God should be a Superman because my dad was a strong father and leader. And so I didn't like it when you go out here and you see these kind of wimpy people and these wimpy pictures of Christ. That always bothered me. So one thing, I was so happy to come into the church and realize that Christ was a powerful, strong individual and he wasn't some wimpy-looking, sick-looking guy. But that came from my dad, and I always appreciated that, my dad. So I thought he ought to be like a Superman, only better. Well, he is. What we're going to talk about today, and I'm going to get to the title later, is that children do have a humbleness, and a trust, and a total faith in their parents that we need to have in our Father and in Jesus Christ. So let's turn to Hebrews 10, verse 38 to 39. We'll be talking to faith today, and there's a lot of things about faith. Hebrews 10, verse 38 to 39. And I'm not going to try to cover them all, and I may miss a few scriptures, but, you know, you can only get so much in an hour. But hopefully I've covered the key points of what I want to talk about today. And I'll give you the title later. It's an aspect of faith. In Hebrews 10, verses 38 to 39, starting at 38, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We were not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." You know, we have to build a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, that when they tell us what to do, we believe it. When they tell us what's going to happen, we believe it. When our life goes according to what they want, not what we want, we have to believe them. Hebrews 11:6. I'm not going to get into the faith chapter right now. That's something later on. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." There's so many scriptures in the Bible that talk about doing what God says, and you will be blessed. And he's primarily talking about blessed spiritually. Now, sometimes you're blessed physically, and sometimes you won't. But what you can count on is you're going to be blessed spiritually, and that's what really counts. In Hebrews 6:1, I'm not going there, but faith is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Faithfulness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It is also one of the main doctrines of God. In Hebrews 6:1, it says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." It's one of the principles that God says we don't leave. One of the basic doctrines of God's church is faith toward God. And we have to have it to please him, and we're to live by it. What is faith? Well, the Bible, like all things, provides us truths in different places. But one of the main scriptures we go to is Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So faith, it's a little bit ambiguous, so I hope to, when I go through the sermon today, it won't be quite so ambiguous. The dictionary says strong belief or trust in someone or something. Belief in the existence of God and strong religious feelings or beliefs. And a system of religious beliefs. Strong says faith, the word is pistos, it's persuasion. In other words, credence, moral conviction of a religious truth or the truthfulness of God or a religious teacher, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. And abstractly, it's constancy in such profession, by extension, the system of religious truth itself. And the synonyms are assurance, belief, fidelity. But people take faith out of context in this world, and they say, well, you just believe in Jesus Christ and have faith in him, you're saved. And you can more or less do what you feel is right, but that's not what God says. So I have a version of what faith is to add to all this, to kind of sum it up. Remember, that's my version, but I hope it's summed up pretty good. Faith is the belief that if you follow and live like God, like the life Christ lived, God will bless and take care of us now and someday resurrect us to an eternal spirit being as part of the God family in true happiness and joy forever. That's what I get out of the study I've done for this sermon. And the sermon title is, and it's the SBS, Five Steps to Building Faith. Five Steps to Building Faith. Pretty basic. They're pretty basic, but you know, God's truth is really pretty basic. It's not easy to do, but it's basic. The first point is we need to continually be in a repentant attitude and recognize the sacrifice in the life of Jesus Christ. We need to continually be in a repentant attitude and recognize the sacrifice in the life of Jesus Christ. When I say being a repentant attitude, there's no way that we can keep from sinning occasionally. Now, it doesn't mean we sin a lot every day. I'm not trying to say that. But there's no way as us human beings can live a perfect life. We just can't do it. We have to have God's Spirit and His power. So Jesus Christ is the beginning of everything if you're a Christian. Even the holy days start with the Passover, the feast and holy days, because it is the basis of everything. And that's where we have to start. Let's turn to John 20, verse 24 to 31. John, verse 20, 24 to 31. John 20, starting to verse 24. Oops, I'm sorry. Yeah, here it is. Again, chapter 20, it'll work better. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. What he's talking about, when Jesus first came there, he showed him who he was, showed him, you know, the scar on his side, and they saw, well, you are the Christ. But Thomas wasn't there. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. That's where the term doubting Thomas came from. He didn't believe because he didn't see. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We are blessed because we haven't seen, but we do believe. But one thing we have that Thomas didn't have, we have this Bible. We have the account of Jesus Christ. We have the account that shows that over 400 prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And there were many in here that were live accounts that you can read about in this Bible. But it says we won't have the physical things like they did. It'll be a spiritual blessing. It'll be a spiritual calling. It'll be a spiritual way of life that we understand. Doesn't mean we won't see physical things about ourselves, about others, which we'll get to later. Matthew 14, verses 24, the example of thought about not going to this. It's an example of Jesus Christ and Peter walking on the water, but I just can't see how I wouldn't go over this because this is such a good example of faith and how it relates to us. Matthew 14, verses 24 to 32. Matthew 20, 14, verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. These are the disciples all left, went on the boat, and Jesus Christ stayed on the shore. And they got into a big storm. Now, on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the water. And this was at night. It was dark. It was even dark when Christ did this, walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Here's the midst of a storm, and Jesus Christ is walking smoothly across the water. And when we're in storms, I guarantee you, Christ is always there walking smoothly. We just have to hang on to him because he is. This is no accident there was a storm to show that there are a lot of storms around us. And yet Christ is steady, walking right through the top of the water. He's steady as you go. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So he walked on the water because he looked at Christ and he followed him. But here's what happens to him, what happens to a lot of us. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." In other words, we look at things. We lose a job. What am I going to do for income? We do something wrong, or we get sick. Whatever it is, there's a lot of trials, that come upon us. What do we do? We look at those trials, and we need to look at God. And that's exactly what she's talking about. Peter was walking on water. When he got to looking at all the things around him, he lost faith. But when you get back and keep your eyes on Christ, on God, here's what happens. In verse 31, "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, 'Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?'" In other words, look to Christ and he can pick you right up and he can take care of you. That's the way we need to live our lives. Galatians 3, starting in verse 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you were baptized in Christ have put on Christ." So we put on Christ, his way of life. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." In other words, we're supposed to be spiritually one body. We're supposed to be agreeing and working together and loving one another and caring for one another, praying for one another. We're going to see how part of our prayers have to be for one another. "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise." Abraham's called the father of the faithful. We are his children too. We are Abraham's children because we were to be faithful. He was. And we're going to get to that later on. He set the example following Christ, the example of being faithful. In Romans 8, verse 34 to 39, one of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible. I have several of them. Actually, the whole Bible is my favorite scripture, but I'm talking about individual ones. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Romans 8, verse 34 to 39. Romans 8, starting in verse 34. "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." So Christ makes intercession for us. There's other places, I'm going to get to it, where Satan accuses us of doing things wrong. But Christ is the one who intercedes for us. He might say, he's okay. He just made a mistake, but he's okay. He's repenting. He's growing, but Christ is always there for us. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" All these things that we talked about when Peter was looking off the side instead of at Christ. We need to not let these things, but we have to put them in perspective. "And it is written, 'For your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter.' Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." In other words, we always keep our mind focused and our hearts and our prayers upon Christ, upon his congregation, upon his ways. God will never let us down. Nothing can separate us from that. It says nothing can separate us from that. There's nothing more sure than God. The second point, we need to remain committed to God's calling and receiving the Holy Spirit and keeping it stirred up. The Holy Spirit is the second key. We cannot follow God. We cannot have faith without the Holy Spirit. We could not understand God's ways without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. Let's turn to Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10. We must have that Spirit. We must stir it up. We must ask God for more of that Spirit and that power in us to help us to overcome, to help us to grow, to help us to do what He says. Ephesians 2, verses 8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." Faith is a gift of God. It's something we don't have on our own. There's a lot of examples of physical faith out there, of people doing things. But usually it doesn't last. It's not lasting. The spiritual faith that God gives us is lasting. We just have to keep it stirred up. We have to use it and keep asking for it. Verse 9, "Not of works, lest anyone should boast." All he's saying here, it's not of physical works, although physical works do go along with it. We'll get to that later. It's just that you have to look like Christ told Peter, look to Him. Look to the spiritual things. Look to the things that are eternal. Romans 12, verse 3. Romans 12, verse 3. And 1 to 2, actually. Romans 12, verse 3. "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So one of the conditions is be humble, again, like that little child. That little child was humble to his parents. We have to be humble to God and receive that measure of faith that God gives us, especially when we start out as a new convert. But God gives us the faith. And if you look at verses 1 and 2, it talks about some of the faith, how it works, how we should live. Verses 1 in chapter 12, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be transformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." So that's faith. God wants to seek His will and live like His Son, Jesus Christ, set the example. And to follow Him and go to Him whenever we need it, whenever we just can't make it, or we think we can't make it, or we need help. Whatever it is we need, we have to seek God. Just like a little child gets upset or hurts himself, what's he do? He doesn't call for a policeman. He calls for his mother or father, doesn't he? Well, we get our knee hurt or we get ourselves hurt, physical or spiritual, we need to call on our Father. Jesus Christ makes it possible for that. We need to have that at the foremost of our mind. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 5. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5, starting at verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." A lot of times, I've noticed in this Bible, when you talk about faith, you're also talking about the hope that God gives us, because the hope helps us to have faith. If we don't have faith, we're not going to have hope. So we have that hope that God gives us. There's hope in His Son, Jesus Christ, that His sacrifice did pay for our sins, and it makes it possible to come to God. In verse 4, it says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." We have to look to that ultimate goal now and to the ultimate goal. "You are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." It is through faith that we serve God and we follow Him and we do what He says. We need to remain committed to that calling and receive more and more of that Holy Spirit. It's impossible without it. You want to grow? You want to overcome? Ask for more of the Holy Spirit. Stir it up. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 13 and 18, we have the spirit of faith from God in us. 2 Corinthians 4, 13 to 18. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. He's talking about we all are to have that same faith. We are to be on the same page, to love one another, care for one another. And we'll see later to pray for one another. It's part of faith. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Now he's talking about if we are faithful to the end and persevere and have that faith that God says we have, we will be raised up with Jesus when he returns to that eternal body we're looking for. Verse 15, he says, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound in the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Even though we're getting older and weaker, and things may be happening to us, our spirit should be getting stronger and stronger. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, this is the few years we're going to be on this earth are nothing compared to eternity. I mean, it is nothing if we put it in that perspective. Verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. You know, all these physical things are temporary, but they're to be used to gain eternity. He says, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So the things that are not seen are growth, our building of character, of being more like Christ is what gives us eternity. But we do have to use some of the physical things to get there. They're just not our desire. We just don't desire the physical things. They're used to, it's like I used to tell a lot of the people who work for me, I said, you have computers and iPhones. And I said, you know what? You don't serve it. It serves you. Well, we don't serve physical things. Physical things serve us. That's the way the perspective you have to be. Because we have to be spiritually driven toward God and Jesus Christ. In Jude, verse 20 to 25. Jude 20 to 25. Since there's only one verse, I mean one chapter. Verse 20, it says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, heating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, that's God, that's God's Holy Spirit, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. In other words, we are to be building ourselves in faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And that leads us into the next one. So we're talking about praying in the Holy Spirit. The next point is we have to do this by prayer and fasting regularly. Prayer and fasting regularly. Which brings us to another one of my favorite scriptures. Mark 9:23-29. Mark 9:23-29. We have to do this. We have to have that relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. You know, same thing with little children. They have to be contacting the parents. I mean, if they're hurting and they got upset stomach, do you think they go in there and not say anything, or do they go to their parents and say, hey, I've got an upset stomach, I'm hurting, how can you help me? We're no different. We need to go to God, and we need to have a regular communication with him, asking him and talking to him about things. Mark, let me get to Mark 9 here. Mark 9, starting in verse 23, says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You say it right now, all things are possible. Now, it's according to God's will, too. I mean, we can't ask for things that are out of the realm of what God wants us to do. We have to ask things in the realm of what God says we can do and what are legal and what are right. It's one thing we got to always realize. And sometimes God says, wait, or said, no, you're not now. I mean, again, I've used the example before. So suppose a 10-year-old boy says, I want a Corvette. No, not now. You're not ready. You may never get one. You know, I may give you a Honda when you get older. But the thing is, that's the perspective we realize that God has. He knows what's good for us, what's right for us. So we pray in faith, trusting God knows exactly what we need. A lot of time it's patience, you know. Although we want patience and give it to me now. you know, that kind of patience we want, but it doesn't work that way. One thing God's building in us, and it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, is patience. It says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command that you come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he rose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? Here's what Christ's words are to them and to us. So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. If we're going to have faith and trust and belief, it has to come by prayer and fasting. That's why it's one of my favorite scriptures, because God tells you how to do it. We just have to do it. Now, if we're having trouble doing it, pray about it. Say, God, I'm having trouble praying and fasting. And then read about it in the Bible and pray about it, study about it. First Thessalonians 3, verse 8 to 10. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 3, starting in verse 8. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord, which is faith. Standing fast in the Lord and doing God's way is faith. It takes faith to stand fast and do the right things. For what thanks can we render to God for you for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. So he's talking about the ministers there, praying for one another, praying for people's faith. We have to pray for not only our faith, but your faith, everybody else's faith. Because we are, whether we believe it or not, are to be a unified group, a faithful group, helping, caring for one another, praying for one another, praying for faith in one another, and having that care and concern and love that God has for one another, that we all make it, that we all grow, that we all overcome. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 to 12. Just right over a couple of pages, probably right one page in my Bible. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 11 to 12. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Work of faith with power, he's talking about. It is power to have strong faith. It's great power. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer is a huge part of our growth and of having faith. Huge part of it. Again, it's like a little child talking to his parents and his parents talking back to him. Say, yeah, I'll take care of you. Yeah, here's a Band-Aid for your sore or your cut. Here's some, you know, food because you're hungry. Or, you know, maybe there's a storm. You know, here, come to me and I'll comfort you in the storm. You know, little children, when it gets thunder out, like to run into the parents' bed, right? Well, if we have storms out, we need to run in our Father in heaven's bed. We need to run to him. Mark 11, verse 22 to 26, and to pray for each one. So much of this prayer is about one another. It's about caring for other people as you care for yourself, which is the second, you know, group of commandments. Commandments 5 through 10. Mark 11, 22 to 26. Mark 11, verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. They were asking some questions about that fig tree that withered. And it withered because it didn't have any faith in God. In other words, it was not producing fruit. It was not growing and overcoming. It was not praying and studying. It wasn't doing these things. It wasn't stirring up the Holy Spirit. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain be removed and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, Here's another qualification about praying and receiving answer to prayers. And whatever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespass. But if you who do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So there are some conditions on answered prayer. And that's called following God's way, doing what he says, and learning about his ways. And he will answer your prayers. Again, it might be wait, but he will answer your prayers. But they have to be according to his will, according to his way. And if you do that, you can be guaranteed your prayers will be answered. Especially in the world tomorrow, it's absolutely no doubt. If you follow God and you keep crying out and you keep doing these things, God's going to bring you into the world tomorrow. He's promised that. And he says nothing can separate you from me if you do that. Isaiah verses 58:6-9. We've talked a lot about prayerless. And of course, Mark says that you have to have it for prayer and fasting. So let's go back to the fasting chapter. Isaiah verse 58:6-9. See what it says. It's good to always go back. You know, sometimes you forget what the scriptures say or how strong, how powerful they are, how encouraging they are. Isaiah 58 in verse 6. Is this not the fast I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh, He's talking about fasting to humble yourself and to give to others, to get in the right attitude toward God and toward others. And what happens when you do that? Verse 8, then your light shall bring forth like the morning. Your healing shall bring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. That's what faith is about. Faith is about doing the things and humbling yourselves that we need to do. And fasting is one of them. I'm not talking about fasting daily, but you should fast several times. And I don't want to give you any, but you should fast many times a year, I'd say. Not just once every atonement. We need to fast on a regular occasion. Now, that doesn't mean every day. And it depends on the situation. I remember when I was overseas working in Indonesia, there was no church probably for 1,000 miles. Well, guess what? Every Sabbath I fasted. It was such a good opportunity. I was going to be by myself anyhow. Because I missed the brethren, and I missed the church, and I couldn't go to church, but I could fast every Sabbath. It was a wonderful opportunity. And sometimes you get in real serious trials. You might want to fast 2 or 3 times a week. Who knows? I mean, if it's a serious trial, you need to beseech God, and fasting beseeches God. The fourth point, by learning through the Word of God from the church, Bible study, and meditation. This builds your faith. In Romans 10, verse 8 to 17. Let's turn to Romans 10, verse 8 to 17. Romans 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. This Word we're preaching up here, when people do this, teach and preach, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of faith is what God calls it. That if you confess your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him up from the dead, you will be saved. From the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now when it calls on, it's talking about call upon him properly, right? You can't call him and ask for something he disagrees with. You know, this society these days, I mean, you can do almost anything you want to do and think that you can call on God, and that's not true. You have to call on God according to what he says you can do, according to his rules. And his rules are good. It says the commandments are right and just. It says the commandments are not grievous. They're good for you. You have to call according to his commandments and his ways. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? In other words, we need to hear the truth. We need to hear it. We need to understand. We need to put it in our hearts and minds. and study it. And how shall we preach unless there are sent, and it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things? It's not because their feet are pretty, they're probably ugly. It's because they bring God's truth, the words of faith. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for I say, as Lord, who has believed our report. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we hear the word of God. It's one reason we go to Sabbath every week, is to hear God's word pronounced and told to us. It is the word of faith. That's what God calls it, the word of faith. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13 to 14. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13 to 14. Verse 13 says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Jesus Christ. He says, hold on to these words. They are of faith. They are of Jesus Christ. That good thing which is committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Mention the Holy Spirit again, what we need. Wonderful words to sometimes if you're down and you're a little bit dejected, you pray to God. This is one of the scriptures, the one about Jesus Christ, that he will never forsake you. Keep some of these scriptures and read them when you're a little bit, say you're a little bit depressed or something, you're having some problem. Keep some of these scriptures and read them. They're very encouraging. They'll help you to point right back to God and Christ rather than on the things that are going on around you, the physical things. 2 Timothy, just over a page, 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 to 17. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So we've learned them from the church, from people here we know are following the truth and are following the Bible. Yeah, we need to check everything out in the Bible and study it. But we need to realize what we've learned from. We've learned from the home office. We've learned from years back. The church is growing, and it's in love and compassion, and it's following the Bible. You know, we used to go to the prison, and the prisoners say, wow, what do you do? I said, we do it because we only do what the Bible says to do. He said, well, you haven't heard that before. I said, well, because most people don't follow the Bible. That's why. So that's what we do as a church. We follow what the Bible says. That's how come you know it's a church of God. 2 Timothy verse 3 and verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned. And that's what he's saying. We continue and do those things. We have learned from the scriptures, from going to church, from reading and studying ourselves, from church literature, wherever we get it from, that is true, from the true church. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which in this case, Timothy had the Old Testament Holy Scriptures, which people say aren't any good, but here it says they are good. It says that, and from the childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise from salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. The Old Testament Holy Scriptures are able to make us wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. You realize that? I want to give a sermon sometime on all the salvation that is offered in the Old Testament. And I started getting a bunch of scriptures, and I thought, this may take several sermons. There's so much information about the salvation God offers in the Old Testament. It's amazing. You know, the world tries to put it out there like, oh, that's just a mean old God. Well, it's not a mean old God, I guarantee you. It's a loving God. And then it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the scripture tells you how to do all these things. It gives you the instructions. It gives you the guidelines. It gives you the blessings and the cursings. It says if you don't do this, you're going to have cursings. If you do this, you're going to have blessings. It's pretty simple. It's hard to do sometimes. That's what takes faith. That's what takes prayer and fasting. That's what takes building up the Holy Spirit. That's what takes continually repenting, and accepting Jesus Christ's sacrifice for the sins. Hebrews 4, 1 to 3. Hebrews 4, 1 to 3. We must listen and by Holy Spirit grow in faith. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, and actually we're talking about two things here. He's talking about the rest that God gives in the world tomorrow, and he's also talking about the Sabbath rest. And I'm not going to go into that right now. But he says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. In other words, old Israel didn't follow God in faith. They followed, in fact, they have so many laws. They followed him physically. And even then they didn't follow him physically. They thought that they had to add so many laws to God's law that you hardly recognize. In fact, it says in the New Testament that the Jews did not keep God's laws because they had so many other laws. They thought they could make it better. Well, they didn't make it better. They made it worse. For who has believed do enter that rest, as you said. So we have to believe. We have to have faith. We have to believe in these things, in the entire Bible, and understand it. We must listen and by the Holy Spirit grow in faith. And one last scripture in that section, Hebrews 13:7-9. Hebrews 13:7-9. Starting in verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. So people get up there and they preach God's truth, and they are serving and caring and loving and not stuck in themselves humble. You need to follow them, especially if they're preaching the truth. And he goes on to say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, you can always trust in him because he's not going to change. If he says you can trust in me, then you can believe it. It's sure if I said I was going to drop a ball right here, it's surer than that. And I know you're going to believe in that. Of course, God can stop that ball from hitting the floor, but you can't stop God. You can't stop what he says. Verse 9, do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart is be established by grace, not with foods which are not profitable to those who have been occupied with them. So he's talking about, don't just follow any old little thing that somebody comes along with. Be grounded in truth, follow in the truth, pray for it, listen to it, study it, and know it by the word of God. It builds your faith. There's so many places in here that encourage you to build faith. That's what this Bible does. Anytime you're discouraged, one of the good places you can go is Psalms. Psalms are so encouraging. The words that David had, some of the others are so encouraging. Proverbs gives you a lot of instruction. And there's so many places in this Bible where God says, if you do what I say, I will bless you. And he means it. And it's absolute. There's nothing more absolute. And we need to realize that. The last point, by living by God's way of life in everything we do, by living God's way of life in everything we do, we really have to build faith by doing it. You'll never learn to have faith in driving a car by just reading the instruction booklet without getting in there and learning to drive it. You'll never, if we wanted to play basketball, we'd never learn by just reading about it. You have to get out there and shoot some hoops and learn. And you know what? You get faith. Actually, when you shoot, you probably can make that basket most of the time, and once you learn it. But if you never do it, you'll never know. You'll never build that faith. So that's part of faith. By living by God's way of life and everything we do, we build faith and trust in God, that he's with us, he'll take care of us, that everything works out. James 2, verse 1. Says in James 2, verse 1, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. In other words, don't be partial to one another, favoring rich over poor. Don't have faith partially. In other words, don't trust partially. Don't trust God partially. It doesn't work. Don't straddle the fence in how you live God's way of life. Live it to the fullest. Live it with zeal. Live it entirely the way God wants us to live it. That's what he's talking about. In verse 14 to 26 in that same chapter, he says, for he observes himself. Verse 14. But each of one is tempted. Let's start with 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot tempt be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. That's some of these storms out here. We're part of that storm. Then when his desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He's an absolute rock. In fact, God says, I am the big rock. Jesus Christ said, I am that big rock that the church is built on, a rock that can't be moved. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the work, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. He says we need to know the work, but we have to live them, we have to do them, we have to experience them. For anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and there's God's laws and his ways are the perfect law of liberty. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Be a doer of the work. It's part of faith. It builds your faith. It's one of the five steps here you have to have to build faith. And it's key. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 to 10. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 to 10. Says here, God starts in verse 6. He says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We cast our cares. In other words, in faith, we cast our cares upon him. Again, like a little child casts his cares upon his parents. Ask anything. Whatever comes to his mind, he asks his parents about. We need to be the same thing. Whatever comes to our mind, if we have a question about something, we need to take it to God and ask him to help us understand it, help us to pray about it, help us to study it, help us to find out, help us to get counsel about it and find out what it is, what we can do. One of the things about being blessed is learning how God wants to live in balance and harmony and love and according to his commandments. Because if we do, we're probably going to get rid of some pitfalls that would make trials for us. God wants us to learn. He doesn't want us to learn like Job did. He wants us to learn by fasting and praying and getting into his word and living it the right way of life. And we'll have a lot less problems, I guarantee you. lost my place. Here you go. Okay. Be sober, be vigilant. This is verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And let me tell you, he is roaring around this world like crazy right now. People are getting killed, throats cut. Women are getting abused. And I don't want to say all, but it's there's so much going on in this world. It's amazing. It is just hard to believe, and it's going to get worse. Satan wants to destroy us. It's another one you have to follow God and have faith in him. Resist him. Resist Satan. Steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, in other words, he's talking about faith, and then after you've suffered a while, he says, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So if we suffer, it's going to, and have faith, it's going to perfect us, it's going to establish us, it's going to strengthen us, it's going to settle us. To be like Christ, which handled everything through the power of God, because he was so full of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. James 1, 2 to 6. James 1, 2 to 6. James 1, 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It takes faith to resist. It takes faith if somebody says, you're going to be fired if you keep the Sabbath. I've been there. I've lost my job. And, you know, I don't know how much faith I have, but God delivered me. I thought I was pretty weak, but God did deliver me. I never went hungry. My family never went hungry. We always had everything we needed. I know there's a lot of people that have faced that. There's other things we face. I mean, society right now is anti-Sabbath, I guarantee you. Everything is anti-Sabbath. You do. Sports is on Sabbath. You know, people work on the Sabbath. They can get off on Sunday, but not Sabbath. You know, you can't sell cars on Sunday, but you can sell all you want on Sabbath. This world is against the Sabbath. Get Sabbath keepers. Stand strong, it says. Knowing that testing your faith produces patience. We got to have patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. One reason you can ask in faith and believe is you ask according to his will. Ask according to God's will, and you know he's going to give an answer. Again, remembering that he likes to build patience in us. He likes cliffhangers. We don't. We don't like looking over the cliff. We're about to fall. He does. Because he knows you're going to build trust and faith in him and patience. Yeah, humanly, we don't like most of these things humanly. That's why we have to do these things. Let's go to Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. I'm going to go through a few things here on this last point. Because there's people in Hebrews 11, they followed God's way of life, and they had actions, and they lived it. That's why they're listed in here. Verse 4, it says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. The reason God has him here is because Abel gave the sacrifice the way God asked for it. That's why he's righteous. He didn't cut corners. He didn't use blemished blemished animal. He used the first fruits that were unblemished, just like God said. But evidently, Cain must not have. It was the difference. Cain must have used the second or poor crops or something. Something was moldy and threw it in for sacrifice. God wants the best, and Cain did that. That was something he did to follow God. In other words, you got to be a doer of the word. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous, which according to faith. Can you imagine being Noah? Well, I have faith in God, but I don't need to build an ark. He might have drowned, wouldn't he? But he had to do that for about 100 years. He had to preach, build an ark for about 100 years. Can you imagine about standing fast and following God and having faith when everybody's making fun of you for 100 years? We think we have stood the test. How about standing for 100 years building an ark in the middle of nowhere, no water? That's pretty much being a doer of the word. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. Actually, he did this twice. He went out when God told him to, and then later on, when he and Lot were having troubles with their families, he said, you go take whatever you want, and I'll go the other way and take what's left over. So in faith, he took what was left over, believing that God would bless him and take care of him. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promises as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He always looked forward to that world tomorrow, that kingdom of God. By faith, Sarah himself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She was in her 90s when she had that baby. That is a miracle. That comes from God. That's faith. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky, in multitude, innumerable as the sands which by the seashore. Those all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that we're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Believe it or not, we're strangers and pilgrims on this earth. We don't live according to this earth and its ways and laws and rules, which really, in some cases, are our no rules. We are pilgrims. We have a pilgrimage path to the kingdom of God. And if we are successful, which we should be, and it requires faith, then all the people who have ever lived are going to have a path to follow. You realize that? You realize what God wants us to do? What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful thing to understand that will give us hope, give us faith. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have opportunity to return. But now they desire a better. There's a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and that he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. And here's what Abraham, his faith and his belief, he concluded that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. In other words, by the time Abraham got to that point, he had enough faith to realize if God told him to do it, he needed to do it, and God would take care of it, that he would raise him from the dead. He believed it. Now, does that mean that Abraham was perfect all his life? Absolutely not. Like us. He was not. Twice, he lied about his wife Sarah because she's so beautiful. He called her his sister so that they wouldn't kill him because he was afraid to kill him. And he went into Hagar and had Ishmael, which was wrong. And we got the whole Arab nation today. But through life and trusting God and learning, he grew to where he came to the point where he could give his own son, just like God the Father gave his own son. He came to that point in faith. It's a growth process. It's the same with us. And I'm not going there. It's like the mustard seed. It's a faith process. The little mustard seed believes it can grow to a big tree. We have to be a little mustard seed that believes that we can grow into an eternal being and have character and have a life like Jesus Christ, like Christ lived, and be in us and have the Holy Spirit. And we can grow toward that. That's what we have to have faith in. We have to have faith that it's there, and then we can get there, and it's real. It's really the only real thing there is in this life, if you want to know the truth. Anything but God's kingdom and God's way of life is not real. It's the only true reality. It's God's way and the kingdom of God for eternity. That's the only true real thing. We have to believe in that and understand it and know it. Abraham did. And he learned it, though. Learned it through a lot of doing of the word, following it, and working with God. And he had a little bit. He didn't have the scriptures back then, but God did talk to him directly. But God talks to us directly through this Bible. That's why we need to read it and study it. He talks to us directly. Let's hold our place here and turn back to Genesis 15, verse 1. Talk about Abraham here. 15 verse 1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. This is before he was fully converted, but he was already working with God. He was already being converted before God changed his name to Abraham. He said, the Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Well, you know what? Each one of us can put our name there. I'm not afraid. Be not afraid, Jim. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. Whatever your name is, put your name there because that's the way God is. God's not a respecter of persons. He's offering us the same thing as he offered Abraham. The father of the faithful. We will be faithful like him. So put your name there. Realize that you're right there. It's the same thing. God is your shield, your exceedingly great reward. The cursings and blessings. Seek the blessings. In Genesis 26, verse 5, what did Abraham do? Why did God? Here's what he says. Why Abraham was the father faithful. Why he was so blessed. Verse 26, 5, he says, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So that's what we have to do to have faith and to be a true son of God. Is we have to obey his voice, keep his charge, keep his commandments, his statutes, and his laws. And God just tells us what they are. And we understand it because they have the Holy Spirit. Without it, we couldn't. Let's go back to Hebrews 11 and finish out verse 23 to 40. I think I'd be amiss if I didn't go through this because there's so many things here. in the faith chapter about how people lived their lives. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command, because at that time, the command told them to kill all the little babies because they didn't want a savior to come up for Israel. The Pharaoh didn't. So by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called as son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, he got rid of all the riches to go with Israel, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, establishing the reproach of Christ, greater riches than treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he destroy the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jerusalem fell down after they were enriched for 7 days. Go back and read some of these counts and see what they did. In fact, in one case, Moses said, stand fast, see the salvation of the Lord. That applies to us. And he understood Christ. Abraham knew who Christ was. All of them acted faithful. They didn't say that, but they do. They knew who Christ was. They knew Christ was going to come and give his life for them so they could have salvation. It says Moses knew it right there. That's what he did. He understood that. It's one of the things why he had faith. Let's go on down here, verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel the prophets. There's many people who lived a life of faith. They lived God's words. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourges, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They had faith in God and his way of life, and they lived it, and they built that faith up from all these things, especially by living it. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of which the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. They didn't receive it at that time. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. In other words, we're all going to receive it when Christ comes back. They're going to receive. Yeah, they had some temporary things, but they also had some heartache. But one thing, if we do what's right in God's ways, God says if we can't handle it, he'll give you a way to escape. And maybe that escape is he's going to give the power and strength and maybe the comfort to handle whatever it is. But let's be assured, things are going to get worse in this country, in this world, and we're going to have faith in God and believe what he says. When he says, I will take care of you if you do what I do, you have to absolutely believe it. You have to live it. Well, in summary, summarize these points to building. 5 steps to building faith. We need to continually be in a repentant attitude and recognize the sacrifice in the life of Jesus Christ. Where it all starts. We may need to remain committed to God's calling and receiving the Holy Spirit and keeping it stirred up. And as we have to have this Holy Spirit, we have to have it stirred up by prayer and fasting regularly. That's what you could call these 5 tools of building faith, but they are the tools. By learning through the Word of God from the church, Bible study, meditation, and our own study, you know, Bible study at church, but our own Bible. We have to have our own Bible study. It's so inspirational, it's so uplifting, it's so encouraging. And it so tells us what's right and good. And by living by God's way of life in everything we do, all 5 of these things we must do. And you know what? If we'll do it, we will be blessed. We will have faith in God. And we will build faith in God more and more every day. And I can see, I know some people here, several of you, for over 40 years. And I see a change in your life. And most of you know who you are. I see a change in your life. It's encouraging to see faith and growth and love and doing more of what God says. And I hope you can see it in me. That's part of building faith, is praying for one another, caring for one another, and seeing these things. Let's turn to Revelation 14. verse 12 and 13. God says who his people are right here. Probably a proper scripture, but it's apropos here. Revelation 14, 12 to 13. It says, here is the patience of saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. In other words, God's people, those who keep the commandments and the faith of Jesus Christ, they keep the faith, they follow that, and they keep the commandments. Romans 8, 23 to 28. Romans 8, 23 to 28. Romans 8, starting at verse 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. In other words, we're waiting for this hope that God gives us. It's part of faith. They're tied together. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. The Holy Spirit gives us the strength and helps us to be encouraged, helps us to have faith. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. If we're trying the very best we can, we're praying hard, the Holy Spirit helps us to do what's right, helps us to intercede, helps us to understand what we should do, helps us to grow and overcome and to be like God. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That was my first favorite scripture of all time. It's still one of my favorite. No matter what happens, you know, we're sick for a long time, or we lose a loved one, or we lose a job, we have to turn to God and do his ways and follow him no matter what. And it always works out, because God is... there's something in us he wants to do. We don't know what it is. You know, Job didn't know what God wanted in him, what was happening. He thought that he wanted to go to court and give his case to God, say, hey, I'm not wrong. Well, in the end, he learned a big lesson. He said, now, God, I know you. I understand you. I know how humble I need to be and how great you are. He didn't know it when he was going through that trial. He wanted to die. But when he got through, he had faith in God, and he knew the gap between man and God and how he needed God's Spirit and power, and how he had to have faith in God. What a wonderful lesson. Verse 31 says, what then shall we say to those things? If God is for us, who can be against us? No one. Luke 18, 7 to 8. Just got a couple more scriptures finishing this up. Luke 18, verse 7 to 8. These two scriptures I'm going to give are going to tie together. Luke 18, verse 7 to 8. Starting in verse 7. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? It does take patience, because he said he bears long, so we might have to go through things for a while. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And I say yes. It has to be the people of God. And I say yes. And I'm going to show you the last scripture that says that. Revelation 17, verse 14. 17, verse 14. This is just after the talking about the beast power and the false prophet. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. So let's go about building our faith in God. It's the only way to God. And it's the only way we can live, is by faith. And we have to build it and grow it. We'll be there. And we'll be called chosen and faithful.